Well, good morning, everyone. When I first started working for the Department of Corrections, nearly 18 years ago, what was focused on the most as a top priority of our training was a condition known as situational awareness. And every year when we go through our 80-hour block of retraining, the importance of situational awareness is again reinforced. You know, we're taught that we can never lose sight of or forget where we are, which is in a prison, and we're to never forget what kind of people we are working with. And that complacency is the biggest threat to our safety. And I'm going to give you the official definition of situational awareness. It says, situational awareness is the perception of the elements and the environment within a volume of time and space, the comprehension of their meaning, and the projection of their status in the near future. And in other words, this means that we need to know our surroundings, we need to understand our surroundings, and we need to be prepared for what might happen from what's going on in the area we happen to be at. And your life can depend upon it. Take care of that right now. It's a little better. When I was first thinking about doing this message, my thought was that I was going to speak on situational awareness and complacency. But I was online this week reading an article that was discussing situational awareness, and it also talked in the article about another condition, and it called this condition the flip side of the coin, or the opposite condition of situational awareness. And as I read more about it, the more interested I became, because this condition actually goes a step or two beyond complacency. The condition the article referred to is known as normalcy bias. Normalcy bias. Normalcy bias refers to a mental state people enter when facing disaster. It causes people to understand or to disbelieve both the possibility of a disaster and its possible effects. Now, with complacency, what happens is you become at ease, or you become content in your surroundings, and you lose sight of the danger that's out there. We go into a dormitory in the prison, and you're there every single night, and you've got 300 inmates you're watching, but nothing happens day in and day out, over and over. You become complacent. You don't expect anything bad to ever happen, even though there's bad all around you. You don't look for it. That's complacency. But with normalcy bias, you continue to see the danger approaching. You just don't believe it'll ever affect you, because it never has before. Therefore, one begins to think that everything is going to be all right. Researchers believe that humans tend to function at their best believing that their lives and their range of experiences are all normal. And so our lives and our existences will continue to move within that same normal parameter that it has been going through all through your life, and it will begin to reject any thoughts of any possible threat. Now, people have a tendency to compare their futures with how their past has gone. Now, I have a couple of quick examples of normalcy bias that I would like to read to you. And this is probably the biggest one. Probably most of you would recognize this. But the genocide of millions of Jews by the Nazis. By the end of 1935, even after knowing friends and family had been taken against their will, and taken to concentration camps, hundreds of thousands of Jews remained in their homes, unwilling to accept what was going on around them. They thought that what was being said was rhetoric, that it would never get as bad as what they were saying it was going to get. And they thought it would never get that bad for them. So they stayed in their homes. A few years ago, we had here in this country Hurricane Katrina that came up. And even after being told that the storm was going to be a direct hit and being told that levees were going to fail, most of the residents chose to stay in their homes because they had this mindset that we've seen this all before. We've been here. We've had big hurricanes. The levees have never failed before, so why would they fail now? Thus believing that everything would be okay. After that, nearly 2,000 other residents died from that. Or even more recently, for us, is this country's current financial trouble. We all see it. They talk about it every day on the news. We know what's going on. I found this to be interesting, that if our government was to right now say we are going to not do any more spending, we're not going to cut anything, we're just going to keep the normal status quo, and we're going to continue to spend what we've been spending, but no more and no less. Then if they could turn around and tax every American at 100%, you could still not balance the budget. There's no way to do it. The government would still have to borrow money from China to make itself functional. And then, of course, we turn right around a week later and elect a president who's telling you straight out, I am going to raise this budget by another $4, 5, 6 trillion in the next couple of years. It's just sinking us further and further. And people just don't believe that this country could ever fail. Or that they definitely don't think we're going to end up like Greece. You talk to people, they'll compare it to Greece, and now it's not going to be like that. But I wanted to read something to you that was reported in several newspaper outlets. One of them was the New York Daily News. The headline reads, Eurozone insists Greece accept 6-day work week. In exchange for a second bailout, Greece creditors are demanding that the country's officials mandate a 6-day work week, Monday through Saturday. The Guardian reports, citing a leaked letter from the European Commission, European Central Bank, and International Monetary Fund. So you could see now how something like this could happen to us directly here within our own country. If we were to default, if we were to collapse, and China or whoever wanted their money back, it's the creditor who dictates the terms of repayment. It's not the person that owes the money. They could come and tell us, your country now has to work a 6-day work week to make this up. Kind of interesting. Most of the people that I know, if not all of the people I know, believe in God. But most of them do not believe the prophecies made by him in the Bible. Normalcy bias does have a relationship with the Bible. Look, if you would, in 2 Peter. Peter chapter 3. And I'm going to read 1 through 7. Verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir you your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this, that scoffers will come in the last days. And I think it's important to understand here that he's talking to the church. He's not talking to the world around him. The problem here is in the church. I'll start back. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now that is normalcy bias, right there. The future will be the same as the past and nothing bad will ever happen because all things stay the same, is basically what's being said here. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. What we're being warned here is not to fall into this trap of normalcy bias. Jesus Christ will return, and he's going to come and judge sinful people. Human nature makes it hard to accept the reality that Jesus is returning and will judge the world. Normalcy bias leads one to believe that if you've not been punished for a sin yet, then judgment probably isn't coming. And Jesus speaks to this situational awareness and warns of normalcy bias himself in Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 32. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branches has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also know when you see all these things, know that it is near at the door. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Right here, Jesus is just telling us that we need to be situationally aware. That we need to pay attention to what's going on around us, and we need to understand that what he says is going to happen is going to happen. In verse 36, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And now he's going to speak directly to this normalcy bias. But as of the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Brethren, we're going to have signs, and there will be warnings, but we need to be ready, and we need to be watching, and we need to be believing. What was being said in all this was that we have the signs of the times. We know what we're supposed to be looking for. We can't just ignore them and feel like they're never going to happen because they have never happened before. Last scriptures, 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 6. Verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace, peace, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the light nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Again, here, we're being told we need to watch. We've been told what to watch for so that we do not get caught unaware. Because like it says back here in verse 3, for those who are caught unaware, they shall not escape. So we have to pay attention to what's going on around us at all times. I found this quote by Mark Twain that speaks directly to normalcy bias, and I thought this was interesting. Mark Twain said, "It ain't what you know that gets you in trouble. It's what you know for sure but it just ain't so. You know, it ain't. The world knows from God's Word what the Bible says is going to happen. They can read it, they can see it, but to them, it just ain't so. We also have God's Word, and we do know that His Word is true. So let's not fall into a trap of normalcy bias. We need to be watching and praying always so that we can maintain a good situational awareness and be ready for when the call comes. Have a great Sabbath.